The third talk by Bill W. on the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous was a presentation to the American Psychiatric Association at its 105th annual meeting in Montreal, Quebec, May 1949. Following are excerpts from that address. Alcoholics Anonymous is grateful for this invitation to appear before the American Psychiatric Association. It is a most happy circumstance. Being laymen, we have naught but a story to tell. Hence the quite personal and unscientific character of this narrative. Whatever their deeper implications, the attitudes and events leading to the formation of Alcoholics Anonymous are easy to portray. The speaker here describes his personal experience in achieving sobriety, his early, unsuccessful work with other alcoholics, and his eventual meeting in Akron, Ohio in May 1935 with Dr. Bob S., who became the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I left Akron in September 1935, three alcoholics were staying sober. Arrived in New York, I set to work and another AA group took shape. But nothing was very sure. We still flew blind. Then commenced a three-year season of trial and error, eventuating in our textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, published in 1939. That book, now backbone of our AA society, opens with a typical story of drinking and recovery. Next comes a chapter of hope, entitled, There Is a Solution. In AA vernacular, two chapters describe alcoholism and the alcoholic. Their object being, of course, to first identify and then deflate. A chapter is devoted to softening up the agnostic. This leads to the 12 steps of present-day Alcoholics Anonymous. The heart of our therapy and a practical way of life, these steps are little but an amplified and streamlined version of the principles enumerated by my friend of the kitchen table. The balance of the text is mostly devoted to practical application of these 12 steps and to reducing inner resistances of the reader. Working with other alcoholics is very heavily emphasized. Chapters are devoted to wives, family relations, and employers. The final chapter pictures the new society and begs the recovered alcoholic to form a group himself. This ideology is then shored up by 30 case histories, or rather stories, written by AA members. These complete the identification and stir hope. The 400 pages of Alcoholics Anonymous contain no theory. They narrate experience only. When the book appeared in April 1939, we had about 100 members. One-third of these had impressive sobriety records. The movement had spread to Cleveland and drifted toward Chicago and Detroit. In the East, it inclined to Philadelphia and Washington. There was an extraordinary event at Cleveland. The Plain Dealer published strong pieces about us, backed by editorials. A barrage of telephone calls descended on 20 AA members, mostly new people. AA book in hand, they took on all comers. New members worked with the still newer. 2 years later, Cleveland had garnered by this chain reaction hundreds of new members. The batting average was excellent. It was our first evidence that we might digest huge numbers rapidly. Then came great national publicity. The Saturday Evening Post piece in March 1941 shot thousands of frantic inquiries into our tiny New York office. This gave us lists of alcoholics in hundreds of cities. Businessmen traveling out of established AA centers used these names to start new groups. By sending literature and writing often, AA groups sprung up by mail. With no personal contact whatever, this was astounding. Clergy and medical men began to give their approval. I wish to say that Dr. Harry Tybell, chairman of our discussion today, was the first psychiatrist ever to observe and befriend us. Alcoholics Anonymous mushroomed. The pioneering had ended. We were on the U.S. map. The speaker here summarized the size of the society in 1949, approximately 80,000 members in 3,000 groups in 30 countries, and its general composition. Bill W. continued, "Of alcoholics who stay with us and really try, a large percent get sober at once and stay that way. Others do so after some relapses, and still others show improvement. But many problem drinkers do quit AA after a brief contact, maybe 3 or 4 out of 5. Some are too psychopathic or damaged. But the majority have powerful rationalizations yet to be broken down. Exactly this does happen, providing that they get what AA calls a good exposure on first contact. Alcohol then builds such a hot fire that they are finally driven back to us, often years later. These tell us that they had to return. It was AA or else. They had learned about alcoholism from alcoholics. They were hit harder than they had known. Such cases leave us the agreeable impression that half our original exposures will eventually return, most of them to recover. So we just indoctrinate the newcomer. We never evangelize. Barleycorn will look after that. The clergy declare we have capitalized the devil. These claims are considerable, but we think them conservative. The ultimate recovery rate will certainly be larger than once supposed. Such is a glimpse of our origin, central therapeutic idea, and quantity result. The qualitative result is assuredly too large a subject for this paper. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. There is no dogma. The one theological proposition is a power greater than oneself. Even this concept is forced on no one. The newcomer merely immerses himself in our society and tries the program as best he can. Left alone, he will surely report the gradual onset of a transforming experience, call it what he may. Observers once thought AA could appeal only to the religiously susceptible. Yet our membership includes a former member of the American Atheist Society and about 20,000 others almost as tough. The dying can become remarkably open-minded. Of course, we speak little of conversion nowadays because so many people really dread being God-bitten. But conversion, as broadly described by James, does seem to be our basic process. All other devices are but the foundation. When one alcoholic works with another, he but consolidates and sustains that essential experience. The forces of anarchy, democracy, and dictatorship play impressive roles in the structure and containment of our society. Barleycorn, the tyrant dictator, is quite impersonal. But Hitler never did have a Gestapo half so effective. When the anarchy of the alcoholic faces his tyrant, that alcoholic must become a social animal or perish. Perforce, our society has settled for the purest kind of democracy. Naturally, the explosive potential of our rather neurotic fellowship is enormous. As elsewhere, it gathers closely around those eternal provocateurs, power, money, and sex. Throughout AA, these subterranean volcanoes erupt at least 1,000 times daily. Explosions we now view with some humor, considerable magnanimity, and little fear at all. We think them valuable object lessons for development. Our deep kinship, the urgency of our mission, the need to abate our neurosis for contented survival, all these, together with love for God and man, have contained us in surprising unity. There seems safety in numbers. Enough sandbags muffle any amount of dynamite. We think we are a pretty secure, happy family. Drop by any AA meeting for a look. Many an alcoholic is now sent to AA by his own psychiatrist. Relieved of his drinking, he returns to the doctor a far easier subject. Practically every alcoholic's wife has become to a degree his possessive mother. Most alcoholic women, if they still have a husband, live with a baffled father. This sometimes spelled trouble aplenty. We AAs certainly ought to know. Now to conclude. We of AA try to be aware that we may never touch but a segment of the total alcohol problem. We try to remember that our growing success may prove a heady wine, that our own resources will always be limited. So then, will you men and women of medicine be our partners? Physicians wielding well your invisible scalpels, workers all in our common cause? We like to think Alcoholics Anonymous a middle ground between medicine and religion, the missing catalyst of a new synthesis. This to the end, that the millions who still suffer may presently issue from their darkness into the light of day. I am sure that none attending this great hall of medicine will feel it untoward if I leave the last word to our silent partner, religion. God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Following are the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. This completes 3 talks to medical societies by Bill W., Alcoholics Anonymous World Services, Incorporated. Narrated by David Weiler at the Braille Institute, Los Angeles, California, in the year 1988.